You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
All right, welcome back to Making Monsters. I'm Taylor Dahl. That's Dylan Ryan. And we are fully in to the off season for Chicago. I know some other teams, as in Kansas City, they are not thinking draft yet whatsoever. The Eagles are not thinking draft at the moment, but pretty much every team, I think, outside of those two at this point, are looking at the draft. And I think even here in Jacksonville, who played in the divisional round, they just started this week getting into their draft talk, I've heard, but they haven't had as much time looking into it as we have here. We are on what, this is our fourth or fifth draft talk episode.
Yeah, it feels like it's been a month since the regular season ended, but it's only been like, what, 3 weeks, something like that?
Yeah,
so I guess
Yeah, because I think the last, I don't know, it was like the 9th or something. I can't remember at this point, but it's February 1st, and we are now, what does that give us, like less than 3 months away from the NFL draft.
It's such a long time.
I know. But it will be here fast, because right now, I saw something yesterday, Rich Eisen, I think it was, he's having Justin Fields on next Thursday, by the way, so if anyone wants to listen to that, I'm sure it'll be some interesting stuff on there. But he was kind of just going into detail about how it's going to be a rough few months for Justin Fields, because there's going to be all of these things of people saying he shouldn't be kept, like he needs to be traded. Bryce Young's better. CJ Stroud's better. They're better passers. They're better this. And he was pretty much saying like Justin Fields doesn't need to worry about that, because he does think that he is the quarterback for the Bears. But he's going to be hearing a lot of chatter. Sometimes it's not easy when you're being told that, like, you are not as good as somebody else, especially when you just, someone like Justin, who just worked his ass off all season to even, like, try to keep us afloat at all. But I kind of liked it, so I'm interested to hear Justin talk to him and just see, you know, like, Justin's feelings of this offseason. We know Justin, just from talking to his high school coach, is very competitive and puts things on himself sometimes that are not on him. So I'm sure he's kind of looking at a season as a whole and is a little bummed that they only won 3 games, and I'm sure at times blames himself for that. But I also think Justin's the kind of guy that knows he's good.
Yeah, and I think something else, I don't know if you saw this or not, but I think it was probably sometime, definitely within the last month, the last few weeks, whatever it's been, there was a clip on the Rich Eisen show of like one of his like side guys was saying like, oh, what do you guys think about the idea of, you know, trading Fields and then going after a guy like Bryce Young? And he's just like, and Rich Eisen and then one of the other guys was just like, why the hell would you do that? And
you're
Justin Fields.
Like, why?
And then like the other guy was just like, I actually think they should do that. And he's just like, that's such a stupid thing to say.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, a month later, Justin Fields is going on a show. So
yeah,
like, maybe that has something to do
with
that.
There's a little connection
there. There's a little bit of that.
Yeah, he's like, I'll talk to you.
Yeah, you're someone that I know is, you know, we're going to get along with. But
well, and speaking of that, obviously one of the news, I guess you can say news that broke, is Albert Breer came out and said that the Bears are moving forward with Justin Fields and they're looking to trade down from that number one pick.
I could have told you that in the middle of the season, you know?
No, I was just, but we just had all this stuff. Warren Sapp comes out, up all this drama that he heard from inside the Bears organization.
What is Warren Sapp now?
That's what I was like. Where are you coming from to come and like break some sort of news like that?
Did he go to jail for something? He's not the guy.
Not
that
reliable.
He's just, I don't know. Yeah, exactly. And like, that's the thing too. Like, you have all these former players have been the ones being like, the Bears should trade him. Like LeSean McCoy is another one. Like anyone that works for Fox Sports on those debate shows, I don't care what you
their
have to say.
Their takes are a little wild.
It's just,
it's very clickbaity.
They're just getting out hot takes.
Yeah.
Just getting out hot takes.
Because they know people will comment. They know people will retweet and respond and talk about it on their podcast.
Exactly.
Because that's what
like,
it is.
That's what we're doing right now. And
yeah.
Like, it's just pretty much self-promotion, you know?
Yeah. And I get it, because if I was in a world where I wasn't covering a particular team, the best way to get interaction is to have hot takes.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, there's times on Helmets and Heels that sometimes I probably say stuff that people like think is me just trying to like get you know, rile people up. For example, rewind to last year around this time in Jacksonville, and they were hiring Urban Meyer. Everybody here was excited except for me. And a lot of people were like, you're just saying that because you want, like, people to comment on your post. I was like, no, I hate him. Like, yeah, I truly hate him. And he's not a good person.
Yeah, and that's shown.
So now it looks right. But at the time, people thought I was crazy. But some people truly do it just for those clicks, for that attention. And when you're a media outlet that is competing, when you're a place like Fox Sports competing with all of these other outlets, including NFL Network, ESPN, all of these things, and now all the podcasts now, you think that the best way to be successful is grab a player and have them say something crazy.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like, as much as people like to talk about sports, and like, the sport coverage of sports is a business, and it's just like, the more clicks you get, the more advertisers you get, the more advertisers you get, the more money you get.
Yeah.
So like, at the end of the day, like, that's what those guys are doing. And I think something else that kind of always really bothers me is, like, especially when you have a really bad team. Like, the Bears sucked this year.
Yeah.
And I'd say a bigger NFL fan than the average fan. I watch a lot of games that don't involve my team. I didn't watch, like, any Texans games this year. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch, like, a lot of Cardinals games this year. I didn't watch a lot of, you know, a lot of the other teams that are, like, were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're a national host, unless you're a Bears fan, you have absolutely no reason week to week to watch
the Bears.
And, like, it wasn't an exciting thing to really
do
for a while.
We did still have 5 primetime games, don't have that much of an excuse.
But, like, I would say, like, for me, it's just, like, a lot of those times, Justin Fields, like, the highlights they're seeing were Justin Fields run for 60 yards.
Yeah.
They weren't seeing Bayless Jones dropping a great pass from Justin. Or they weren't seeing, you know, all the great small things he was doing. It's just like, yeah, this guy can clearly pass the ball and be an effective quarterback at the NFL level. And they'd just be like, well, yeah, but, like, can he throw the ball? It's just like, he's so good at throwing the ball.
I looked at the box score, and I watched the highlights in the morning, and all he did was run. And I'm like, ah, but you missed the 60-yard pass that was dropped. Or you missed Darnell Mooney, the pass to Darnell Mooney. Or who was it on the one? This Dante Pettis, I think, was the one on the sideline that was just like, he kind of shoot him to go. He was kind of changed the play as he was running and threw it. I think it was Pettis. But then the Darnell Mooney one, which everyone was going crazy over, Devonta Smith's, who didn't catch it.
Yeah.
And Darnell Mooney made that catch, exact catch, almost to a T earlier in the season. But they don't talk about those ones.
Yeah,
they want to talk about the running and how he can't throw, because it's easy to Google in the morning and be like, Bears box score. And yeah, you look at it and he threw 20 times, completed 16 of 20, 15, 15 of 20, and for 140 yards.
Yeah, exactly.
And a touchdown, and you're like, okay, that looks like it sucks. But what you didn't see is the reason all of it led to those things.
Yeah.
But Dylan, the reason we're here today, obviously, is to continue to talk about the NFL draft, but also Senior Bowl is going on right now. And so, obviously, we are not there, but with technology the way it is now, we're seeing constant videos. We've seen a ton of offensive linemen, defensive linemen, their battles and size charts and all of that stuff, their measurables. And we've seen that this week. Today, we just started really kind of hearing about some of the wide receivers and seeing some of those clips. So this is just a moment where you get to know some of the guys maybe you didn't know by name before. But we're going to talk to Ryan Roberts. He is an NFL draft analyst for Rise and Draft and Rise and Draft Scouting. So this guy's obviously, this is his world, is looking at guys like this coming out of college and scouting them and kind of figuring out what they're good at, what they're bad at, who are some of the maybe like guys we haven't really heard names from. He, if you look at his Twitter, it's right now clip after clip after clip of just offensive lineman, pretty much, which is cool because that's obviously one of the positions we want to look at. But I wanted, before we get to that interview in just a minute, I wanted to read this thing. So The Athletic wrote an article and it got sent to me, I think, yesterday. So the 2017 Bears staff didn't take, the 2017 Bears also had coaches that were coaching in the Senior Bowl. So this article was kind of talking about that and how they need to use that as an advantage this year, as in, because Getsy obviously is there. So the 2017 Bears staff didn't take great advantage of coaching the Senior Bowl. The Bears drafted only one player from the game that year, offensive lineman Jordan Morgan. Who? Nobody knows, because he never played an NFL game. By coach, now obviously Getsy, Polk, Zets, they all can learn about the players and the other coaches, and they can relay that to Poles and Cunningham, obviously. Things like, how do they learn the playbook? What kind of player is he at practice? Where are some of his greatest strengths, and where do you see him as a person? Because those things are important. And when we talked to Joe Marino, that's one of the things that he mentioned, is like, they're humans also. So this whole process of the offseason is not only saying, yeah, this guy can catch the ball, but is he going to be a good teammate? Is he going to be a leader? Is he going to be able to learn this playbook? Is he going to take in what you teach him and what you're coaching him? So those are all of the things that they can take advantage of right now in the Senior Bowl, us having a coach there coaching. But one interesting thing is last year the Bears drafted 4 players who participated at the Senior Bowl: Velus, Braxton, Dominique Robinson, and Judd Tyree Carter. So for small school players like Jones and Carter, their performance against top competition likely put them on Poles' radar. That probably helped Braxton Jones so much, and thankfully, like, those are the guys that we're going to look at in the future and be like, they noticed them at the Senior Bowl last year, and this kid went to a small school, and now we're sitting here, and he's the starting left tackle for the Chicago Bears because of what he was able to do at the Senior Bowl and stand out. And obviously, I'm sure the combine and measurables and all of those things started helping later down the road, but this is where it starts for a lot of these guys. So it'll be really interesting to talk to Ryan, just see some of these guys that he thinks are standing out, because we've talked a lot about Will Anderson, we've talked a lot about Jalen Carter, we've talked about Brazee at this point, and we've talked about some of JSN and some of the wide receivers, but there's a billion names right now that are floating around, and some of these guys I never even heard of. So it'll be interesting. So we'll get to the interview with Ryan Roberts from the Rise and Draft, and then we'll just recap that a little bit.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a 2-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
All right, now we are joined by Ryan Roberts. He's the NFL draft analyst for Rise and Draft. You can find him on Twitter at Rise, the letter N, Draft. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us. We're super excited. Obviously, for Chicago Bears fans, this is a very exciting offseason, probably the most exciting offseason we've had ever, at least in my lifetime ever, because there's just so many possibilities with what is going on with having the number one overall pick and having a first round pick in general, because we didn't have one last year. So I just want to get into some of these guys at the Senior Bowl a little bit and talk about some possibilities for the Bears and the draft this season, because it's really in full swing for us right now. So let's start with some obvious news that's been kind of going around. Albert Breer today kind of came out and was like, hey, the Bears have said they are moving forward with Justin Fields and they're looking to trade that first overall pick. There have been some rumors otherwise recently. Guys like Warren Sapp have come out and said, no, they're talking about trading Fields and drafting Bryce Young and all of these things. So I want to hear your opinion on Justin Fields comparable to Bryce Young and CJ Stroud and what you see in that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the circumstance that makes the most sense, I think, is the one that Albert Breer kind of put out there in the universe today. It's the fact that Bryce Young is a tremendous player. He's my top quarterback in the 2023 NFL draft, but I don't think that he is. And I do have him graded higher than what I had Justin Fields, but I don't think that the difference is so substantial that you take a quarterback number one and you part ways with Justin Fields when I think the Chicago Bears are in a situation where you're just not ready to make that type of leap. I don't think that the the roster is constructed in the sense that they're a quarterback away. I don't think that resetting the, you know, the time frame of a first round quarterback is the right move right now, because you still have 3 years of control over Justin Fields after this season, obviously, right? So I think that for me, Justin Fields took a massive step forward in year two. Year one, I had a lot of question marks, and I honestly still do have some question marks about the ability to process and to work in the pocket consistently and just have kind of that internal clock in the back of his mind. But I think that you saw this year that the development he had from year one to year two is very promising. And I think that the Bears are in a situation where trade back while you can, while there's a quarterback up top of a Bryce Young's caliber, along with the C.J. Stroud. And the NFL also, for some reason, really likes Will Levis. So if you want to kind of mortgage that pick to get as much additional draft capital as possible to trade back, I think that that's the way to go, because I do think that Justin Fields is an extremely talented player, and with the right players around him, I do think that he can be a franchise quarterback. So I don't think that parting ways with him is a wise decision, because I just don't think that the difference between him and, let's say, a Bryce Young up top is so much so that you make that jump just to get two extra years of quarterback control, in my opinion, from a contract perspective.
Yeah, Ryan, we've kind of had that question mark around the Will Levis thing a lot in the last few weeks that we've had these podcasts, but we are happy and open to anybody who would like to trade up to one. If it's Will Levis, that's great, whatever they want out there. But let's jump to the Senior Bowl a little bit. Obviously, this last few days, we've seen a whole lot of the offensive linemen versus defensive linemen. We just started kind of seeing the wide receivers, but a big storyline, obviously, here in Chicago is that Coach Getsy is coaching this year at the Senior Bowl. How much does that give an advantage at all for the Bears when it comes to finding some of these players that could be kind of sneaky ones in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Senior Bowl is a big opportunity because you have limited opportunities to get to know these players from a personal level. You know, they have scouts, obviously, from all 32 NFL teams here that are going to be able to sit down with all these players on both the national and the American team. But then you have, obviously, the combine is a big opportunity, and then you have some, obviously, of the individual meetings beforehand. But I think that this is an extra opportunity for the coaches to get to see it live, you know, and for a guy like Getsy to get to see the quarterbacks, the wide receivers, the offensive linemen, to get to see how kind of they maneuver it's a very stressful situation, right? Trying to learn it's not an advanced system. It's not like a super in-depth system, but learning that system in a short amount of time, getting to know players around you that you're not familiar with, being in a setting that is not meant to be comfortable. You're meant to feel uncomfortable because they want to see if you sink or swim a little bit. So getting the opportunity to see those guys in that type of setting, not just in the meeting room or on the whiteboard or watching some film, I think that that's a big bonus for a young staff, especially someone like Luke Getsy, who has the opportunity to see some of the best senior offensive players and defensive players in all of college football and in this draft process. So I think it's a big added bonus, and being able to see a different vantage point and how those players work in a on-field setting, I think, is a big bonus.
So we've only had a few days of the practice so far. There's obviously still a lot of players that need to get out there and show themselves, but is there any names you've been hearing so far of guys that have really impressed people? Someone I've been seeing on Twitter a lot, DeJuan Jones, he set the record for the wingspan at almost like 7.5 feet I saw. So that's someone that I think probably is going to go up a little bit, you'd imagine, right?
Yeah. It's really been an offensive and defensive line driven event so far. I mean, to be completely transparent, I don't think it's a tremendous senior year from a wide receiver, corner, secondary perspective. So I think that that's kind of what people have been focusing most on is the trenches on both sides of the football. I mean, DeJuan Jones had a really nice first day, obviously, yesterday. I mean, it was so good that him and his agent kind of, you know, were on the same page that they were just going to sit out the rest of the week and just kind of set on what he was able to accomplish in the first game, in the first day. But, I mean, you hit it. I mean, almost a 90-inch wingspan, which was the longest in Senior Bowl history. He was 6'8" and 1/8", 375 pounds, over 36-inch arms. I mean, the kid's just a massive human being, right? And you saw him working against guys like Isaiah Foskey from Notre Dame, where they are tremendous power rushers, but it's almost an impossible task to be able to work against a guy that big who also has pretty good foot quickness. I question the bend in his hips, obviously, but, I mean, he is a powerful dude and incredibly wide to get around. So he's been a big guy. I really love what I've seen from John Michael Schmitz on the offensive line, the center out of Minnesota. I think he's probably been the most consistent offensive lineman from day one to day two. I mean, he's just been kind of stoning guys on the American side of things. You know, some really talented interior rushers who just haven't been able to get anything on him in this pass rush 101. He's been able to sit down on power and show his athleticism in the team setting to get out in space. So, I mean, he's done well. Jalen Duncan's an offensive tackle out of Maryland that I thought had a really strong day and has continued to build on it today. A really fleet-footed, long pass rusher who's a true left tackle type at the next level. And then you have some defensive linemen that have had extreme flashes. You know, I think Isaiah Foskey's been a guy over the last 2 days from Notre Dame that has shown a lot of progress and a lot of twitchiness on top of being incredibly long, incredibly powerful. I'm a big fan of Will McDonald, who is a defensive end out of Iowa State, who was a very bizarre player at Iowa State because he was only played last year at probably about 227 pounds, playing almost a 4-4 eye tech. But this week he was able to bulk up to 241 pounds. He has 35-inch arms, which is just an outstanding arm length for a player that that kind of plays his style. And he's a former 6'10" high jumper when he was in high school. So this is a really gifted athlete, really springy, athletic pass rusher who's a true outside track guy. So I think that that's kind of encompassing of what you should expect from this draft, is that there's some talent on the offensive line, although I think that it's a little bit of developmental, but the defensive line is really the bread and butter of this class. And I think you see that with what you're seeing in Mobile right now. A lot of defensive tackles, a lot of pass rushers. It's really deep, I think, on both sides of the trenches.
Yeah, I mean, for a team that struggled mightily on both sides of the line, I think that's the best news we could hear. So
yeah, I was like, you are speaking words to our ears, because I mean, on both between letting 55 sacks happen to Justin Fields and then on the other side having the least amount of sacks and pressures when it comes to the defensive line. Those are two things we are majorly looking for. One name I saw a whole lot yesterday, Cody Mauch, I believe that's how you say it. I saw that he...
Mauch,
okay. He was all over, left tackle, left guard, center, right guard, all of that. What did you see out of him?
Yeah, he's a little bit developmental with how you have to look at him. I don't think that he's a guy that year one you're going to get the most out of, because he's still developing from a power perspective. But I mean, it's the most hilarious thing in the world for anybody out there that just kind of wants to go look at his profile for North Dakota State, because there's a historical tab that you can look at and see kind of the progression of him as a player. I mean, he came to the program as a 6'4", 230-something-pound tight end, and now he's listed at 6'4.5", 6'5", somewhere in that ballpark. And he's now over 300 pounds. And
wow.
I think that what's really substantial about him is that he's a really gifted athlete. That tight end background shows up on film tremendously. He's a really smooth mover, good lateral quickness, good ability to mirror match and pass protection, just a lot of really nice traits. And he's kind of spent some time not only at offensive tackle, which he played at North Dakota State this week, but he also has been playing a lot inside at guard. So plays with a great temperament, really nice athlete. The thing that needs to be worked on is obviously he needs to continue to get stronger and to really improve the anchor that he has in pass protection, because all the athletic traits are there. He's a really tough physical kid as well. It's just about if you can really improve that power profile. I think he's a young man that could start at right tackle down the line. I think he could definitely start inside a guard. I even think that there's some teams that I've talked to that like him as a center as well. So he's got some alignment versatility, some positional flexibility, and I really think that he has a lot of traits to work with. It's just about kind of really accentuating those strengths and getting the most out of his profile, because there is still some rawness, but there's a lot of upside to him.
Yeah, those are some of the things, just because I was seeing his name a lot, and sometimes you see those names because of their personalities, and he immediately it kind of took me back to like the Ben Bartsch Senior Bowl, where it was just kind of quirky, and like immediately you're seeing all of these people give him attention because then it was his weird shake. This kid is missing his two front teeth, and it's just like kind
of it's funny. He mentioned it, but like quirky. I think I knew him much more as like the way he looked before I knew him as a football player, because like over the last 2 years that's gone viral at least like 4 or 5 times. So he definitely is someone that he's been on the radar for a lot of people. So a story that doesn't affect the Bears as much, but I feel like it's been a big story nationally speaking recently. Stenson Bennett, you know, he gets arrested at a time that the Senior Bowl is going on. Jim Nagy, president of the Senior Bowl, comes out recently and says, like, yeah, he decided not to come here. I think it could have benefited a lot. Clearly, you know, with the situation he had going on with him getting arrested, you know, you didn't want that to happen. Do you think he's someone that would have truly benefited from going there? Or, like, do you think he's just kind of in a bad situation right now and, you know, just unfortunate luck circumstances-wise?
Well, I mean, it's very unfortunate. I don't wish any negativity upon these players, especially in such an important process. You know, I mean, they're on the cusp of making millions of dollars and generational wealth, obviously, for them and their family. So I feel really bad that everything is kind of working the way it is. But there's been a lot of red flags behind the scenes, to be honest with you guys. You know, it's not so much just the Senior Bowl thing, because I disagree with the decision that he made. I do, full-heartedly. Like, you know, you can accept the decision, you can say that it's his decision, and that's, you know, all true. But at the end of the day, I mean, he was being projected as a mid to late round draft pick. Like, this wasn't a kid that was going to go in the first round. So I don't think it's a wise decision to just kind of rest on the tape that you had and just say, like, I don't have anything to prove. I don't think that's true. Like, I think you have a lot to prove. And you know, people wanted to argue, like, oh, he's a 25-year-old guy, and how much development does he have? It's not all about just what you do on the field at the Senior Bowl, you know? It's the ability to sit down with those coaches and with the decision-makers and the scouts and everybody that's in attendance and sell yourself, you know? Like, it's a resume-building process. And I don't think it was a wise decision, because especially at the quarterback position, for a guy like Stetson, who's not going to wow anybody with physical traits, like, he had a chance to sit down and really show himself and sell himself to a program. And I think he missed a massive opportunity. And then when you hear, obviously, what happens, you know, getting, you know, the public intoxication stuff down in Texas, like, it's very unfortunate, because, I mean, my first impulse is, like, that probably wouldn't have happened if you were, you know, training for the Senior Bowl, or mm-hmm. if you were up, you know, traveling to the Senior Bowl. So it's unfortunate that all this stuff happens. But then you also hear things of, you know, that some scouts that he's had in conversations with, like, there's been, like, this just weird, you know, kind of tension and him kind of portraying himself as a kid that kind of knows everything and doesn't need help. And there's just been really mixed reviews on Stetson from a wide scope. So, I mean, yeah, he could have definitely improved his stock. He could have really, I think, laid some of the stuff to bed that's kind of going on behind the scenes. But right now, I think Stetson had a good opportunity to be drafted in April. And right now, I mean, I would bet against him being drafted right now unless something completely changes. Because now, I mean, he has the arrest on his record. He's got the, you know, the inability to showcase his talents in Mobile. And then he's got all this rumbling behind the scenes as far as his conversations with scouts and just how he's kind of presenting himself. So I think that it's very unfortunate, but he's kind of, you know, he's kind of built the bed that he's lying in right mm-hmm. now. So it's as unfortunate as it is, it was his decision on what's happening right now.
Yeah, and the thing I'm most disappointed about in the whole thing is we didn't get another Baker Mayfield video of him just getting absolutely laid out by a cop or something when he got arrested. But, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more on all that stuff. I mean, I feel like the big question at Stetson Bennett of Georgia was just, like, he's surrounded by all of this amazing talent. Can he actually do it when he's not there? And the Senior Bowl would have been a great place to show that. You know, clearly he's like, oh, I can go party, celebrate the championship a little bit more and all that stuff. So, like, those do sound like some very negative attributes. So it's a little bit scary considering a guy who's, like, not for sure locked in to get drafted by any means, I'd say.
Well, and that's what's interesting because we see we saw what happened to George Pickens last year. And that was just the rumblings of maybe his personality and him not, you know, some of the off the field stuff. And this is even more serious than that. And it's a player who was already not going to go very high.
Yeah, right. And that's the biggest worry, and especially, I mean, because this is a young man that isn't being projected to be a franchise quarterback. He isn't being projected to be one of the first couple guys off the board and to be a face of your football team moving forward. So in that instance, I mean, the best attribute a quarterback has in a backup role is to be dependable, mm-hmm. right? And the fact that he isn't there and that all this stuff is happening off the field now, there's going to be some questions that people are going to raise about how dependable and how much you can trust Stetson Bennett. And I mean, there's going to be a couple opportunities, you know, the combine and the meetings with the teams individually. And there's going to be opportunities for him to, you know, dig himself out of this hole. But I mean, at this point, it's tough to trust the guy right now with just everything that's going on around the, you know, off the field right now. So I hope he gets it together. I hope he's going to kind of, you know, get his draft stock heading back in the right direction. But right now, it looks very bleak for him, to say the least.
Yeah, I agree. And I agree with you 100% because I'm never rooting for these guys to not make it. Like, this is a chance of a lifetime for them. So I'm always rooting for them to be able to fix it and hopefully get drafted at some place, at some point. But you mentioned a little bit about wide receivers. And obviously, you said you're not majorly impressed in any of this, or especially the depth of wide receivers. But I saw a tweet earlier, and you were talking about the Andy Isabella, how he dominated the Senior Bowl the one year. And you said these drills are designed find for those type of wide receivers. So that got me really interested, because what are you, as a coach, as a scout, what are you looking for when you were looking to draft a wide receiver, especially within those first three rounds?
Yeah, it's a great question. I was talking to someone, I think, on Twitter about this earlier. It's a fascinating conversation, Taylor. It really is, because I think we need to understand that wide receivers all win in completely different ways, you know? And I feel like people kind of couple the ability to create separation into just one bucket. And I don't put that into one bucket. For me, there's players that win as premier route runners. There's guys that win just based upon being a better athlete than the guy across from them. And then there's a bucket of wide receivers that win by creating separation in the air. And I feel like people don't talk about that enough, right? They think that separation is just, you know, separation in and out of breaks and that type of thing. But you can create separation in the air. You know, a lot of great receivers, the DeAndre Hopkins of the world, the Julio Jones of the world, they weren't incredible separators with route running, right? Like, they were separators because they could win above the rim. They could elevate. So for me, there are different ways to calculate how successful a player is at creating that separation. That's the first thing I always look at. The thing that I look for is, okay, if you're a guy that separates in the air, do you have the traits that will translate to the next level? So if we're talking about a guy that's going to win in the air, do you have that height? Do you have the springiness as an athlete to get up and elevate? Do you have strong hands to win through contact? Those are the questions. If you're a guy that wins as a route runner, I need to know if you have good hip sync getting in and out of breaks. I need to know if you understand how to attack blind spots, where to set things up, how to stem. There's a lot of different attributes to how you win, but the more you can do in that regard, then the better of a player that you're going to be. So if you're a player like a Julio Jones, who can separate as a big body wide receiver, win above the rim, but can also separate because you're running in the 4.3s, then you're a guy that becomes not just a good player, a potential role player, but becomes a very good wide receiver that can win in multiple ways. So the more you can win is always the best. I really don't like the one-on-ones for pass coverage and wide receiver one-on-ones at these events, because it's predicated for wide receivers to win. And you see a lot of, you know, Andy Isabella was the guy that I threw out there, but I mean, there's guys every single year that you look at and say, you know, that yes, they're getting open, but there's no safety help. There's no linebackers playing from the second level depth to kind of work into the zones. Those one-on-ones are meant for wide receivers to win. So I don't think they're a great indicator. I worry much more about what does it look like in 7-on-7? What does it look like on team drill? But like at the core of what I look for in a wide receiver is I need to understand how you win and is that translatable to the next level. If you can win in one way, you can play in the NFL level. If you can win in multiple ways, that's when you become a legit volume getter in the NFL. And then if you can win in all three ways, you're one of the superstars in the NFL at wide receiver. So the more you can win, the more separation you can create, the more valuable you are, in my opinion.
So I'm an Iowa State alum. You already mentioned the big other name for us we're going to have there, Will McDonald. The other big name, Xavier Hutchinson, a wide receiver, is someone who on Twitter a lot of people were actually giving some high praise to. Do you think he's someone that actually is, you know, one of those players that's really setting himself apart? Or would you say it's more like what you were just saying, where he's succeeding in these individual drills and not in real game scenarios?
Or is it also Twitter just hyping him up?
That too as well.
I mean, Twitter's always going to hype up everyone, which is kind of it's a double-edged sword of Twitter. But I really do like Xavier Hutchinson for what he is. You know, I think that you can't misevaluate what he is, because then you won't appreciate it. You know, he's not the flashiest athlete of all time, but he has a really wiry frame. He's got a big body. And I think that he plays with just a great understanding of how to get open and really strong hands. So he reminds me a little bit of Rashard Higgins that's played in the NFL now for a couple years. You know, there's nothing flashy about him, but he just kind of gets the job done, you know. And that might only be a number three receiver. That might only be a number four receiver. But those guys are valuable, because at his size, 6'1.5", 200, you know, plus pounds, I think that he's a guy that can be a dependable option, play with his size, play with his ability to have a big catch radius, strong hands, and then also contribute on special teams. I think he's the type of guy that will go down there on a punt, on a kickoff, and add extra value to your team. So I really like Xavier Hutchinson. I think he's going to get drafted on day three, and I think that he has the ability to have a role at the next level, because he does some of the little things that aren't incredibly flashy, but they're just so valuable to building a football team, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, based off all the things you just described, I'd be more than willing to spend a day three pick on him. And I mean, I already got, you know, the little connection there, so I'm a little bit biased. But.
Yeah, yep. we have. I feel like we have plenty of number threes and fours on the Chicago Bears. I'm looking for a number one.
Yes, this is true.
But one more for you, Ryan, before we let you go, because obviously we've talked a lot about the Senior Bowl and these guys that maybe we didn't know their names as much, but the big thing is the Bears have the number one overall pick, and a lot of people are saying that the Will Anderson, Jalen Carter is the way to go, whether they stay at one or if they trade back maybe with the Colts, still trying to get one of those guys. What are your thoughts on Jalen Carter and Will Anderson, and who should the Bears get if they stay at one?
Yeah, it's a really fascinating conversation because I don't think there's a wrong answer to the question, right? Like, I think that Jalen Carter is going to grade out slightly higher than Will Anderson for me, which was a very big surprise to me when I started doing their final evaluations, because I'm high on Will Anderson. That kid is a blue chip player, you know, 6'4", 245, incredible bend, flexibility, can play in space a little bit too, which is really interesting. So he can do a lot of things, and obviously his production over the last 2 years at Alabama especially is eye-popping, right? Like, he's a really talented football player, plays with a great motor. Big fan of Will Anderson. But I think that Jalen Carter is the more rare player for what he is. You know, you just don't see that type of interior player that can disrupt the game at such high level. You know, he can play at the point of attack, he can two-gap, he can do all that stuff. But what he is as an athlete is special. You know, I compared him a little bit to Warren Sapp, who, you know, I don't like putting out those types of comps too often because I'm comparing him to a Hall of Famer, one of the best interior pass rushers we've ever seen. But I think that he has that type of upside. He's slippery rusher. He's really good with his hands on the interior, explosive, really good football player. And the good thing about where the Bears are in this draft with number one is that if you do trade back with the Colts, one of those two are going to fall on your lap because someone's going to take a quarterback at one. The Texans are probably going to take a quarterback at two. So you're probably going to get either one of Jalen Carter and Will Anderson. So I don't think there's a wrong choice in that conversation. Personally, I do just side with Jalen Carter slightly just because I think he's a more rare football player, but not a cop-out, but I just don't think there's a wrong answer in that conversation.
Now, what about if they go a little farther, maybe to 7 with Vegas or 9 with Carolina? Do you see them doing maybe grabbing a guy like Brazee, or do you see them going a different route?
Another great question. I would say that for me, Brissett is your last chance to get a legitimate top 10 talent on the defensive side of the football in the top 10. I know that there's guys like Tyree Wilson, from Texas Tech that a lot of people like. I think he's a really talented football player. I just don't think he's a top 10 pick. I just really don't right now. And there's a lot of corners that you're going to hear. Like, I'm a big fan of Devin Witherspoon. Top 10 still is a little bit high for me. They're going to talk about guys like Christian Gonzalez from Oregon, who's a really talented corner, Joey Porter Jr. I think that the depth of the cornerback group is fantastic in this class, but I just don't think that there's a top 10 lock to me. So I think Brian Brissett is the guy that makes the most sense. One, because you already said it, you know, the Bears need help on the defensive line all over the place. And Brissett's a player that, I mean, he was recruited as a strong side defensive end originally coming out of high school. Like, he played on the edge and obviously he settled into more of a three tech nose role for Clemson. And he missed a lot of time over the last 2 years. You know, 2 years ago, he's dealing with the injury that obviously cost him a lot of the season. This year, the unfortunate circumstance of his little sister passing away from cancer was really unfortunate, but unfortunately he had to miss a couple of games due to it. So he's missed a lot of time, but Brian Brissett has special talent. I mean, he's 6'5", 300 pounds, long arms, can play anywhere from a shade nose all the way up to a 5 at times. I think he's a special talent. It's just you have to kind of bet on the traits a little bit with him because he just doesn't have a ton of production due to certain circumstances over the last couple of years.
Well, I just wanted to say thank you, Ryan. A lot of good information there and a lot of players that now I have to go watch some film. And see.
Ready to hit the YouTube.
Yes, here we go. But enjoy your, I guess, crazy next few months as you prepare for the draft.
Thank you both so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks. Have a good one. All right, well, thanks to Ryan. Obviously, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, he is very, very well informed in all of these things. I know a lot of the people, he got very technical on a lot of things, and I really liked hearing the the three types of separation. It's very interesting because it is at when you're watching a wide receiver and when you look at numbers, even when you look at, I saw a stat recently talking about the Bears having, I think, the third lowest wide receiver separation this last season. And now I'm curious as to like what level of that was it all three bad? Like who was any of them getting like a certain one of those separations? Obviously we know there wasn't a whole lot because we just by eye, you can see that type of thing, but it makes me want to go back and kind of watch some of the games that things were maybe clicking a little better and see if some of those things were happening. But it's also interesting because I don't know who I want, Jalen or Will. I feel like everyone says something different, I feel like, because Joe Marino was full on Will Anderson. Like, he's the best prospect. He's the best guy. He's number one on their big board. And he says Jalen Carter, he has rated higher and he loves he loves both of them.
Yeah.
But he says Jalen Carter has a slight edge over it. And so I'm like, I keep going back and forth. Oh, but and then the one thing that I think he pointed out about Jalen Carter is just like how, and we've talked about this briefly or probably more than briefly actually, but just how much he can help that interior and how much the interior helps the outside.
Yeah.
And I think that's what is going to be so interesting to watch this next few months. But obviously that's going to drastically change if they get an interior veteran guy.
Yeah. And what I meant by this, a lot of people are saying the same thing, is I don't think anyone's really had that strong of opinion either way.
They're close.
Everyone's just like, I like, you know, Jalen Carter for this and that reason, but like if I end up with Will Anderson, I'm still thrilled.
Yeah.
You know, so like that's kind of more what I was saying, where it's just like no one has really been like, Jalen Carter, don't pick Will Anderson.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like you can pick Jalen Carter. I like him more.
Yeah.
But like Will Anderson's also a fantastic
choice.
Yeah, like
you don't need to be bummed if you have to take Jalen instead
like,
of Will.
Yeah, it's not like the difference of like, for example, drafting like, you know, Myles Garrett number one and then Mitch Trubisky number two.
Yeah,
you know, like it's
not
like that kind of difference.
That.
And so,
but I am starting to get a little anxious about the fact that like I do not want to, I really, really hope the Colts give us what we want.
Yeah.
Like that's where I'm at right now in my mind, because I get it. If you go to 7-9, you can get a guy like Brissee, and I forgot about that. His sister passed away. I remember when all that was going on because they had, I remember seeing like a little special on ESPN or something, and it was about his sister having cancer and passing away, and it was like the first game he played after it, and it was like very emotional.
Yeah, that's super sad. Obviously. And like something else, you know what's going to happen is like ESPN or ABC, the alternate broadcast they do, they're just going to all over that
on
the draft night, and you're just
going
to be crying.
Everyone's
going to
be crying.
And it's going
to
be
you
like,
always see the sad stories on draft night, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I always cry a little. But yeah, so somebody like that, obviously, he said is a good, but they need work. And so like, to me, I'm just like, Colts, come on.
Yeah,
need a quarterback.
I want four. You guys want one.
You've had 75
the Texans
quarterbacks
are at
in the last
two.
5 years.
You got to hop them to get your guy.
You do not want Houston to take your quarterback.
It just makes too much sense. That's really what it is at the end of the day. And I feel like it's so rare that these trades that everyone's talking about like constantly is like end up happening, and like that's a part of me that freaks me out so much, but it just really makes too much sense for that Colts trade.
I know. And like for everybody.
Yeah. Like
everybody.
All sides, and like even like with the Texans, you could argue with the same thing with them.
And
like,
then you know Houston's going to be on the phone because they know
they
that Colts are gonna be on the phone.
Exactly.
So they're gonna be like, well, we'll give you this, but then the Bears are gonna be like, well, the Colts are giving us more because we have to trade down to four.
Yeah.
And for you, like, because the Texans aren't gonna give us as much for one spot. The Colts, knowing they have to skip over Houston and move up those few more spots, are going to have to offer a little bit more. But we can still get one of the guys. Like, worst case,
we're getting Will or
Jalen, whoever Arizona doesn't want, whoever trades
and, like,
up with Arizona.
Ideal
and that's
scenario,
if another quarterback doesn't
And that's
come.
An ideal scenario. Like, maybe Arizona trades down too, and we have our choice of the two of them.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's very real possibility.
What do we do? Then that's stressful.
You know, maybe we trade out again. You know, maybe one of them's still there.
Ryan, you make this decision, and you better be right.
I think something really interesting, though, going back to our conversation we were just having, something that he mentioned about Andy Isabella, I think that's very interesting because Andy Isabella was selected before DK Metcalf in their draft. And DK Metcalf is someone throughout the whole combine process, the whole thing, was he got the initial bump of just like, oh my God, look at this guy. He's an athletic freak. And then almost instantly, when he had to actually start testing things, people were just like, he can't turn quick enough. He can't do this right. Yes, whatever. Like, he's not good enough to be more than just a guy who runs fast and runs straight. And Andy Isabella, on the other hand, is someone who tested through the roof of the combine at senior days and all of this stuff. And they've had completely opposite careers where, like, DK has been nothing but successful. Mm-hmm. Andy Isabella, I can't think of one thing he's done in the NFL at this point, you know? So it's like, it's very interesting to see how, like, as much as these scouts and these tests we think project, you know, who's going to be good or not, they're just completely wrong in that case.
Yeah. And that's when you start getting fooled by the measurables and the eye test type stuff. And as much as the eye test is good, there's certain times when those things happen. And we hear about these guys and they run this fast and they have this much separation and they haven't dropped a ball the whole time. But like he just mentioned, when you're not fully playing with the corner or safety that is having to guard you, like as in an NFL game, it's a different world. And so that's when you have to go back to film, and that's when you have to go back to like college, because when these guys are at Senior Bowl and they're just, it's a lot of drills, and it's cool, like you can get certain things out of these drills, but they're not playing real speed football.
Yeah.
And then you also, the NFL is an even faster speed than college football. So you have to also say, okay, they could do it successfully at this level, but can they do it when you notch up the speed?
Yeah, and I think something else to really look at is, like you mentioned, like there is very rarely a scenario in the NFL where you're a talented receiver and you have a one-on-one matchup.
Yeah.
There's always some kind of help somewhere coming, mm-hmm. and like maybe they're not getting double-teamed, but like, having a safety over top just to prevent you from running straight makes it harder.
Yeah.
You know, so like not being able to deal with those things in the live game scenarios definitely is a lot more difficult for the scouts.
Yeah.
And something I do feel like the Senior Bowl really is, I think it's not more like, unless you are like a DeJuan Jones where like your measurables just test to be like way crazier mm-hmm. than everyone thought. I feel like it's more something that like people don't want you to play poorly in rather than they want you to excel in.
Yeah.
Because you're not just playing against college football players. Mm-hmm. You're playing against some of the best college football players. And you're no longer just like, you know, the best player on your team. You're the best player in a group of good players. So if you can still manage to be like successful and maybe not necessarily like look poor amongst that group, it probably gives them a lot more confidence in how you compete at the next level, I'd say.
Oh, for sure. And you mentioned the DeJuan Jones, because first of all, insane. Like if people do not know his measurements,
he's going to be a first round pick.
6'8", 375, his hands 11 3/8. That's like double Kenny Pickett's.
Yeah, he's something else I think he's got, like
arm 36 5/8, wing 89 4/8. So last year, the reason why Trayvon Walker, one of the reasons why Trayvon Walker shot up so much when it came to all of the measurables in the combine and all of these things, other than like the weird workouts he was doing and was getting some tension through that, his arms were 34.
Yeah.
And that was like one of the things where they were like, whoa, this guy has 36 5/8.
Yeah, because as big like, of a deal as it is, like if you can grab the other guy before he grabs you, you have the advantage.
That's what it's about. Yeah.
And like he was playing next to Paris Johnson on the Ohio State offensive line, who's been looked at as possibly like the top tackle in this draft next to Saransky. And clearly, I feel like he kind of just got outshined a little bit being at the right tackle spot, because like this guy is a physical freak.
Yeah.
So like he was like looked at as like a second, third round pick before this. I'd be shocked if he's not a first rounder now.
Yeah. Someone like that would definitely be fun to have. That's a big guy, almost 400 pounds.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this is that time of year when we'll start hearing this. And like we kind of jokingly said with Ryan, like, is it just Twitter people saying they're good? Because you're going to hear, there's going to be some sort of scout, or there's a lot of people there that do their own podcasts and do stuff like that, and they get credentials for these things, and they're looking for specific positions or a certain team, or they're an alum from a certain college, so they're kind of into their guys. And so when you're reading Twitter, you're like, this guy's good, this guy's good, this guy's good. Man, he was fast. Man, he caught every pass. Wow, this guy's big. He looks like he can do this. And they're posting the best clip of the day of that person. So you have to take some of it as a grain of salt. Like if you're there and you're being able to observe everything at once, it's different. But we're seeing a clip of one of these guys being able to handle their own against one defensive lineman, and maybe the next three they get crushed.
Yeah. I mean, you see the extremes. See you see the highs and the lows.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're sick of someone that gets absolutely killed, you know, you're probably going to see that one. But like,
I did see one of the Notre Dame, who was it? One of the Notre Dame guys got pancaked.
Got pancaked. Oh, yeah. That's not
Yeah.
Good.
Like, yeah. I was like, ooh. Yeah. There was pretty.
I don't remember who it was exactly, but there was this one running back trying to block a linebacker, and like, he didn't even touch him. And I was just
Zeke.
Like, yeah.
His name is Zeke.
Yeah. And like, it's just, yeah. Like, not great. Not what you want. But yeah, the Senior Bowl is one of those times where like, you can really find the gems. And I do think having Getsy and the coaching staff there, it's going to be really helpful. And I'm excited for it, which is kind of weird because I've never really been excited for the Senior Bowl. But it'll be cool to see what comes out of it. So.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, that is another episode of Making Monsters. We'll have another one next week, and obviously we'll know even more Senior Bowl stuff by then because it'll be completed. So we'll have a lot more on some of these guys. Hopefully we get a guest who maybe we can talk about some of the, like, what you don't want out of these guys, because with Ryan, we talked a lot about, like, what do you look at for the wide receivers? What are you seeing the good out of the offensive linemen? Maybe we can get some of the bad, like,
yeah.
Who is not performing well? What do you look for to just say, no, this guy cannot be an NFL player? Things like that, because it'll be fun to just kind of hear the opposite, you know? So maybe we'll aim for that. But either way, this has been so far a pretty fun. We made it through January. Now we've got to make it through February and March and almost all of April.
It feels like years. Like, as much as it's, I know it's going to fly by and we're going to be there and it's going to be draft night, but it just feels like such a long time from
it
now.
It does.
And, but all right. It's exciting because we haven't done anything and we got all the potential in the world still. So
oh, yeah.
It could go amazing, but yeah, you know, maybe sure. It goes poorly. But I think it's going to go amazing. So.
All right. Well, that is Making Monsters. I'm Taylor Dahl. That's Dylan Ryan. We will catch you guys next week for some more Senior Bowl draft talk.
See you then.